At today, do you think? I am the gate. Well done. So in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 30, which we read part of earlier, we have an extended discussion about shepherds and sheep. And in verses 1 to 10, Jesus speaks of a flock of sheep protected in a sheepfold or an enclosure, a warning against the rustlers or the thieves who might get in and steal the sheep. Jesus likens himself to the shepherd who constitutes a door stopping thieves from entering and the sheep from escaping, saying, "I am the door to the sheepfold." So that's the passage of the I am sayings that we are looking at today. And then in verses 11 to 30, he talks about I am the good shepherd, explaining that the good shepherd cares for the sheep and even will give his life for their well-being. There's another of the I am passages that we're going to look at, I think, in 2 weeks, because next week's Messy Church. So in 2 weeks we'll look at the Good Shepherd, but today we're looking at I am the gate for the sheep. Now, to understand Jesus' teaching, I think we need to put all of our 21st century Australian thinking about sheep and farms aside. Now, when we read these verses, we're not listening to Jesus as a 21st century Australian who thinks of a sheep farm with thousands of acres and thousands of sheep and who uses dogs and motorbikes to round them up and put them on huge semi-trailers to take off to the abattoir or to be shipped overseas. Now, when we read these verses, we are listening to Jesus, in whose mind the shepherd was the person who owned between 20 to 100 sheep. And he spent his days walking around with them, making sure they were safe, they were fed and they were watered. He knew each sheep by name and he prized them for their wool. Now, in Jesus' mind and in that of the people that were listening to this story were also all of the Old Testament passages that spoke of Jewish rulers as good or bad shepherds and as God as the ultimate and perfect shepherd. Now, how does the 23rd Psalm begin? That's right, the Lord is my shepherd. So in the Old Testament, there's lots of references to the sheep, to the shepherds, and how as God is the ultimate perfect shepherd. So the people, the Jewish people that were listening to this story would have remembered that God had promised to send a Messianic shepherd, you know, a second King David, who would care for them like God himself cared for them. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23, it says, "I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd." So it is this prophesied messianic shepherd that Jesus identifies himself with. Now, a sheepfold, which we'd call a pen today, I guess, a sheepfold is where the sheep would sleep at night. It's a safe haven. And usually the shepherds would bring their flocks in back to the village as the sun began to set and pen them often with two or three other flocks so they were all together. If they had to take the sheep far away, they would gather them in a cave or a gully. Or if these weren't available, they'd make a pen for them out of bushes and logs. So the aim was to try and protect the sheep throughout the night. If the sheepfold was in the village, would usually have a strong gate or strong door at the front. And through this door, the shepherd would enter in the morning and call out to his sheep, while thieves or robbers, in contrast, would climb in some other way. If the sheepfold was in the countryside, the shepherd himself would sleep across the entrance as the human door. So these two kinds of sheepfolds and entrances are the image in the story that Jesus uses. Now, there's a real intimacy between the Jewish shepherd of old and his sheep, and it's brought out most powerfully when Jesus says, "The sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they follow him because they know his voice." Now, when I think of that, well, the Jewish shepherd, the sheep know his voice, what's the closest thing to us that we could relate to? I think it's, and Trish will like this, it's the relationship that we might have with our pet dog. You know, the dogs, they know our voices, don't they, when we call out to them, our dogs. And this is the kind of relationship that the shepherd had with each one of his sheep, you know, 20 to 100 sheep. The minute they heard his voice, their tails would wag, and another voice would make absolutely no impact on them. So what this story envisages is more than one flock in the sheepfold. So try and imagine it. There's all these sheep in the sheepfold. And the first shepherd comes to the door in the morning and he calls out to his sheep. Don't know what he would have said, but he had a call. And they recognise his voice and they file back out the door, out the gate. The other sheep that are there take no notice of that voice at all. There are lots of people that can recount seeing this very thing in third world countries still today, where shepherds still care for small flocks of sheep. And Linda told me a story the other week when I started this sermon series, and I'm going to ask her to come up and tell it because it relates to today.
So I was told this story a couple of weeks ago. Someone knew somebody who'd gone off to Israel fairly recently, just for a holiday, and he was out, you know, in the fields, and he bumped into a shepherd. So the shepherd's there with all his sheep, and another shepherd turned up with his flock. So these two shepherds, you know, they're having a good old chat, as I imagine shepherds would do. And this person who was watching them was thinking, you know, look at all the sheep, they're all in together, you know, they're nosing around, the sheep are having a good chat as well, and, you know, where have you been, and what have you been up to? All mixed up. And he's thinking, how on earth are these shepherds going to pull their sheep apart? How do they know which is which? And he said, one shepherd went off that way, the other shepherd went off that way, and the sheep just separated and followed and went off with their shepherd. And, you know, he just thought that was quite an amazing story.
So it still happens today. This story from the Bible from a long time ago is still happening today. So this story is what we call an allegory. That is a story with a hidden meaning. And I think the hidden meaning is that Jesus is the shepherd and we, his followers, are the sheep. God is telling us that our relationship with him is to be paralleled with that of the loving, caring shepherd. And we, as his disciples, are to think of ourselves like the sheep that know the shepherd's voice and follow him. I think that's an incredible thought. You know, Jesus is our loving shepherd who cares for us and knows us. And we have followed him because we have heard him call us. And when we hear his voice, we go right to him. Now, the other thing in the first century the shepherd had to be constantly on the watch for were those who would come and steal his sheep. And often this was done by getting into the sheepfold at night by some other way than the guarded gate or door. And such thieves, Jesus says, come only to steal, kill and destroy. Now the welfare of the sheep is of absolutely no interest to them. They're out to feed themselves literally and metaphorically. The sheep do not freely follow such interlopers because they do not hear their master's voice. So who are the thieves that Jesus is alluding to? Well, for him, they are the self-serving Jewish leaders of his day who are supposed to be good shepherds of God's people but are only good to themselves. I think today that the thieves are anyone who would snatch from the fold one of Christ's precious sheep. You know, they are the false teachers who suggest we can save ourselves by one means or another apart from Christ. They are the advocates of religions that know little of forgiveness and the love of God. And there are those Christian leaders, who attract their congregation's affection away from Christ and to themselves. You might be able to think of others, but there are many thieves around today, and their offers sound so appealing. But there is, however, only one good shepherd, and it's his voice we should be listening to. Then we come to Jesus' words in John chapter 10, verses 7 to 9, where he says, I am the door. And this comment envisages the shepherd sleeping across the entrance to the sheepfold, which was normal practice when the sheepfold was not an established one in the village. When the shepherd lay across the entrance, no one could enter or leave without passing over him. He was the door to the sheepfold. In this case, Jesus himself dictates the meaning of this aspect of the allegory. Entering the sheepfold alludes to entering into salvation. And Jesus says it explicitly, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." And then he adds, "I have come to give my sheep abundant life." A picturesque way of saying again and speaking of salvation in Christ. Abundant life in all its fullness. It is a life in relationship with God, revealed in Jesus Christ and made present by the Holy Spirit. It is a quality of life that even death cannot destroy. And again, the force of Jesus' words strikes us. He is the entrance to eternal life. He feeds us, he protects us, and he gives us life in all its fullness. These are the only things that God can do. And Jesus is claiming both in speaking of himself as I am and in what he promises to be, God incarnate, God in human flesh, a God who saves and sustains. So what this passage teaches us more than anything else is that once we become part of the Good Shepherd's flock, he will protect us and feed us. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." I'm going to ask the band if they'd like to come back up.